So rather than Bible reading or Bible story being read this morning, we're going to watch a little video about one of the miracles that Jesus performed.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is Jesus.
Hey-o!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love. He did many miracles and healed people of their sickness.
Oh, hey, everyone!
A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. A crowd started to gather around Jesus. There were 5,000 men and many more women and children. Turning to Philip, he asked,
Hey, Philip!
Where can we buy bread to feed all these people? You see, Jesus was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them.
Hey, I got an idea.
Then Andrew spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Jesus said, Tell everyone to sit down.
Make everyone sit down.
Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and gave them to the people.
Here you go.
Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted.
Want some more?
I'm all good, thanks.
After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, Now gather the leftovers, so that nothing is wasted.
You got it.
So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps, left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.
Now, some of you may not particularly like listening to talks. So if you'd rather not, or if you'd like to be doing something with your hands during this talk, at the very back, if I press this the right way, you'll find a box full of junk. Cardboard, boxes, bits and pieces. And maybe you'd like to go and try and make something useful out of that junk. Or make something beautiful out of that junk. So you'll have about 15 minutes to do that if you'd like to try that. But if you don't want to, that's fine. Or if you just want to carry on doing that once you've got hooked on it, that's also fine. Okay. Right. So. So we've just seen the cartoon of the story of how Jesus miraculously fed, well, in the Bible it says 5,000 men, but there were women and children there as well, so it was well over 5,000 people, using just 2 small loaves, 2 small fish and 5 small loaves. And it's a very well-known story. Actually, apart from the story of the resurrection, it's the only miracle which is recorded in all 4 Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and in John. And it's one of those stories which has many different things to teach us. We see Jesus being compassionate, caring for the practical physical needs of the crowd. It's also a story about generosity. God provides more than enough for the crowd. There are 12 baskets of bread left over, and a generous boy shares his food. And it's also a story which shows us that Jesus really is the Son of God, able to work amazing miracles. But today, I'd like us to think about what the story can teach us about what God can do with what we have to offer him. So a huge crowd of men, women, and children has gathered to listen to Jesus. Jesus realizes that these people are going to need something to eat. It's hard to concentrate and to learn if your stomach is rumbling and you're hungry. So Jesus challenges his disciples to solve the problem. Philip thinks about going to buy food for everyone and very quickly realizes that that is just not a realistic possibility. Andrew does something a little bit more practical, which is to find out if anyone in the crowd has brought any food with them. And he finds what seems to be the only person in this huge mass of people who has: a young boy with 5 small loaves and 2 fish. Now, I was wondering how Andrew found him. I think he must have been going around asking people if they'd brought any food. And I don't know, it's speculation, but my suspicion is that some of them probably did, but they weren't going to share. But this boy was willing to share. And yet, he must have looked around, this young lad, at this huge crowd and thought, well, 5 loaves and 2 fish are going to look a bit stupid if I give them this, isn't it? Maybe he felt it wasn't really an adequate amount of food to give to Andrew. But he did it anyway. He was brave enough to take the risk of maybe looking a bit silly. And on the face of it, he didn't have very much to offer, but he was willing to give the little that he had. And for Jesus, that was enough. It was all that Jesus needed. Jesus took the little that was offered and did something amazing and extraordinary with it. He thanked his heavenly Father for this little offering and then multiplied it into enough food to feed over 5,000 people and have more to spare. Now, I'm guessing that there may have been times when all of us have felt that we are completely inadequate. We've looked at what other followers of Jesus are like. They pray so powerfully. They're holy. They have so much faith. God seems to use them and speak through them. And we compare ourselves and we feel pretty second rate. Or maybe we've messed up in our lives somehow and feel that that makes us unacceptable. We've got nothing worth offering to God. Where other people have boundless faith and commitment, we've only got the equivalent of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And maybe those 5 loaves are a bit stale and mouldy, and the fish have gone off a bit and are stinky. So let me tell you a little story. When my husband Mike and I got married, a lady from his parents' church gave us a wedding present. We unwrapped it and found one of these. "That's lovely," exclaimed my mother-in-law. "What is it?" Does anyone know what it is? Any guesses? A grater? Yeah, it is. It is a Tupperware cheese grater with a useful bowl underneath to catch the cheese. It was useless. Because when you tried to grate the cheese, all that happened was the plastic warmed up and the cheese smeared all over the top. So we cleaned it up and we put it away in a cupboard. We didn't want to get rid of it because it had been a present. So we put it at the back of a cupboard somewhere. No use for it. Until one night I was woken up by a drip of water on my head. It was coming from the ceiling above our bedroom, We rushed up into the attic and found that there was a really bad leak just where the roof joined the upright wall. And just in front of there were some really low struts. We couldn't get a bowl underneath it. We couldn't get a pan underneath it. And then we remembered the bowl under the cheese grater. And it was just about shallow enough to slide under the beam and catch the water. Now, we had to empty it quite a lot, and we did spend the whole night in the loft. But if we hadn't had that, what we thought was useless cheese grater, there would have been a massive amount of damage done to our bedroom wall. That cheese grater didn't look like anything very special, but in the end, it proved to be far more useful than any working cheese grater that you could get anywhere. Sometimes I think what we have to offer doesn't look as though it will be of much use at all. But God loves to use small things. Get rid of the cheese grater. If we offer what we do have, Jesus will use it. Zechariah 4 verse 10 challenges us. Who dares despise the day of small things? And the Bible shows us that God uses small things. He uses small numbers. Jonathan told his armor bearer in the first chapter of Samuel that it makes little difference to God whether he saves by the few or the many. He uses insignificant people, small people. The Apostle Paul suggested in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the members of that church should take a look around at who was there. They wouldn't see many celebrities, not many people whom the world saw as powerful or rich or gifted. Because, writes Paul, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. And God uses small gifts. And no one illustrates that better than the young lad who gave his lunch to Jesus and ended up enabling Jesus to feed over 5,000 people. Or look at the widow in Mark's gospel, who dropped her two tiny low-value coins into the offering and went on her way. Neither that widow nor that young lad with his loaves and fish had the slightest idea that 2,000 years later we would be talking about them and learning from their actions. I wonder what you might feel that you are not very good at. In what areas of your life you feel you don't really have much to offer. But it's the offering that matters. It's Jesus who does the work, who does the rest. Just look at what he did with five small loaves of bread and two small fish. What are the small things that we could offer Jesus? Could it be committing to pray regularly for someone or for some situation of need? Could we make time to have a coffee with someone we don't know very well and who might appreciate the company? Or send just a short note of encouragement to someone who's going through a hard time? Could we invite someone to join an activity which we take part in? We can't foresee the long-term consequences of the small actions that we take to honour God. But God can, and he can do amazing things. A few years ago, I used to help out on a Christian summer camp for teenagers. One of the helpers there, his name was David, told us how he had become a Christian. He was married with primary school-age children, and his wife was involved in an accident and suffered a really bad broken leg. Now, the wife was the main carer for the home, for the children. She was the taxi service, the person who took them to school and picked them up and so on. A And the people who rallied round with practical help, doing the school run, bringing meals, doing the shopping, were some mums from the school gate who attended the local church. And they even got church members who had never met David and his family to help out. Now, David and his wife weren't churchgoers, but they were so impressed by the kindness they received, just small actions, nothing dramatic, that it made them think maybe there was something in all that church stuff. They began to go to church, and they became Christians. And now, here was David on a summer camp with teenagers, supporting them in their Christian journey. And I know that some of those teenagers are still very much on that journey. And David's played a part in that. It's as if the small acts of kindness multiplied and affected far more people than those mums at the school gate could ever have imagined. So let's never underestimate what God can do with the little that we have. Now, at the beginning of this talk, I said there was a pile of junk on one of the tables at the back, and I invited people to see if they could make something useful or beautiful out of what appeared to be of not very much value. And I don't know, they might have made something like this, or this. Have you made anything? Not there yet. Well, you haven't had as long as the people who made those. Are you going to show us later? Brilliant. Okay, don't let me forget. Okay. Right. So I think that in the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, there is hope for all of us, because God can use even the smallest gift, because it's not about what we have to offer. It's about what use the God who knows no limits can make of it. We're pretty much at the end of our service now, so people at the back who have been transforming junk, have you got anything to show us yet? Could you bring it up? Or get someone to bring it up then. Wow. It's a rocket. It's what? That's amazing. Whoa. Thank you very much. Yeah. So it's a great picture of how God can transform our grounded, mucky lives into something amazing that can shoot into space and just get to places you would never, ever think.